Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
If you all would please stand for the reading of the scripture. Today's scriptures come from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, read from the Common English Bible. Matthew 5, 7. Happy are people who show mercy because they will receive mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that He has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of His grace by goodness that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and redeemer. It is in your name we pray. God's people said amen. As you depart this day, on our table of resources, there will be something called 10 Ways to Show Mercy. It is also in your reminder this week. I invite your counsel over it as you live out in practice these steps towards living out mercy. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology defines the word mercy as the following. It is the foundation of God's covenant. Mercy is manifested in God's activity on behalf of His people to free them from slavery. It is neither theory nor principle. Some of us who drive quite a few miles need those acts of mercy, neither theory nor principle. And the more you drive, given the nature of our ever-changing society, the more you need mercy, not just for the sake of making sure you return safely to your home, but just pragmatically as you seek your destinations that you travel to. Some of you who have purchased cars, as we have in the last several years, we'll note that the technology to help you do that grows rapidly more and more each and every year. It all began with these things in our computer screens that we now call global positioning systems or navigational systems. They act as breadcrumbs for us, those markings of where we have come from and where we're going, and in this moment, where we may never even expect to go. I want to begin this three-stage series with you called Breadcrumbs with talking about one word, before. Before. And I want to offer you this theory that there are three elements of mercy that we must become familiar with. The before mercy, the between mercy, and the after mercy. Today, let's talk about before. What you'll note in the text, as you have heard it read so ably, thank you, sir, is that the text denotes for us a budding bustling, growing congregation called the Church of Ephesus. You have heard me preach from this text before, but what you may not realize is that the reason why it is called Ephesus is not because simply it is growing, but because they are absolutely, unequivocally, without question, enthusiastic beyond comprehension for what God has done in their life. In fact, I like to say it this way. The E in Ephesians stands for enthusiastic. And they are enthusiastic because they believe with both word and deed what they have received through the life, the death, the resurrection, and soon, in their opinion, what they believe to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is in this text that we find that the Apostle Paul, who is the bishop at this point of the first century church, writes these words in great counsel to them. It is known better as a circular text or circular scripture. It is one that we discover over time is passed on from the church of Ephesus to the church of Philippi to the church of Colossae, and it goes on and on about 60 AD. Here's what it says. Don't worry about the sound. I'm going to preach over it. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 7 says, however, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love he has for us. Paul trying to give them reason to remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, reason and counsel to keep their thrust in what they believe and what they do, says to them, listen, remember that at one point you had no reason for living in essence, that while you were floundering and fossiling yourself around those things that you wish to do, you did not have a centering point for why you existed, and now you do through the life and the transformative grace, better known as mercy, of Jesus. We will discover in the next couple of weeks, to be quite frank, that mercy and grace go hand in hand. There is no way to separate them, that God's grace is his ability to give us favor beyond our own working. God's mercy is giving us, listen, the opportunity to move forward with his grace, even when it is undeserved. Remember, I talked to you just a moment ago about those of us who travel a bit, who need his mercy as we travel. Several years ago, almost now 10 years ago, Ford began a process to create its own GPS, its own navigation system, and it has come to be known throughout the world as SYNC, S-Y-N-C. SYNC is known as probably right now the most popular American navigation system in any car unit in the country. It is found in the Fusion, the Escort, the list goes on, the Expedition, you name their car and they have it in there. And central to it, unique and distinct only about Ford, is this one thing they call breadcrumbs. Depending on how you set your settings, up to a year at a time, breadcrumbs are distributed through its electronic means to remind itself of where you have come from so that when you pass it again, you can say, I'm in familiar ground. I know this place not simply because I may have memory, but because someone else has memory that I have been here before. To this end, if you'll allow me just to remind you of what it says in chapter 5, verse 7, of what Jesus says in the book of Matthew, we discover this text, and as we do, we know Jesus is talking here, and here's what he says to the people who are going through the moments, even actively, as he faces the cross of Christ, known as crucifixion. He says, happy are those people who show mercy because they will receive mercy. Jesus says this in his Sermon on the Mount to those who will have to face the future days of living. He says, while you may not know what's coming, trust me when I say to you that you will receive mercy, that is the unmerited favor of God, the unrighteous equipping of yourself, the undeserved opportunity to see another day and another blessing and another grace, not because of anything you have done, simply because in your process of giving mercy to those who don't deserve it, you will find yourself in the place of receiving that which you don't even know you deserve yourself. Anybody else confused, or am I just the only one? Here's what it really means. you're going to get better than you deserve because you give better than you've been given. That's clear, isn't it? Plain, simple. Jesus says this to people who will crucify him. Jesus says this to people who will throw stones at him. Jesus says this to people who will use his name and his words in indefinable and indefensible ways. I think that's how our cars feel sometimes. You know, that chuck hole that you see coming, but you hit anyways, and the strut says, ouch, even though you can't hear it. That tire that you turn at 45 miles per hour, and it screeches, and you say, oh, no big deal, and it's saying, stop this craziness. That radio that has your favorite song that you put at 9 when you could hear it at 3. And now everybody else at the stoplight has to hear what you're hearing. How about this? How about that trunk that you keep stuffing stuff in, even though it's full? And you don't need a half of what you bought anyhow. But you just gotta have it. And the trunk won't close except when you slam it down. And even though the steel can't say it, it's saying, Jane, stop this crazy thing. Real time. Paul and Jesus write to people who will have to give better than they have received. And the big ideal about before mercy is this. People who follow Christ live in the before mercy of God's grace because they know that they will never get as well as they're called to give his love and his kindness and his peace and his forgiveness. To this end, I want to offer you these 3 points very quickly. And I'm going to talk to you about before mercy as Paul talks to you and I about them in his text. And he says these 3 things which I want to very quickly articulate for you. First, he says that before mercy describes what God is willing to do. But in the process of that, he says, before mercy that is active in our lives first compiles God's record in our lives. Verse 4, chapter 2. However, God is rich in mercy, present tense. He brought us, past tense. Let me give that to you again. God is rich in mercy, present tense. He brought us, past tense. Even before we knew we were living, Christ made security for us to live. Here's the point. Paul calls us to remember. Somebody say remember. Thank you for that. Paul calls us to remember that God has recorded our lives. Isn't it good to know that you have a God that even when other people thought you were not worthless, that you were worthless to remember, God thought you worthy enough to remember before you needed to be remembered on Calvary? He compiles our lives. One text says this in the book of Revelation, that our stories are written in the Lamb's book of life. Another phrasing says this. It says that God never forgets. Here's my point. As God has recorded our lives and seen worthy enough to see us worthy for grace and salvation, we should remember not only we are deserving of that, but others are as well. In word and deed, we're called to live a life that compiles God's record. Let me ask you to take a minute, just 60 seconds. even 10 seconds, and just flashback, if you will, all God's mercy on your life, the times he kept you, saved you, stopped the car accident, even if you had one, how he kept you still here. That's God's before mercy active in your life. That's the breadcrumbs of his before. Let me move forward very quickly. Time is fleeting. Before mercy doesn't just describe what we're willing to do in the context, what we're willing to do in the context of the compilation of God's grace and mercy, but it also calls us to reset our regrets as well as our regret. Now, let me be a little clear here. For Paul, you've got to remember, Paul is writing to a church that has seen his life, as the young people say, just help you a little bit with your lexicon, on blast. That means, for those of you who are not hip to the jive, as you like to say, in public. Pause here. How many of us would love to have our lives put on blast? I didn't think so. Paul has no choice. He was one who crucified Jews who just went at them with a fever that is unparalleled. And so everyone knows the story. And so for Paul, in verse 2 and 5, in chapter 2, verse 5, he says this. Listen, as he remembers his own journey, he did this because of the great love he has for us. Paul can't get away from God's great love in word and deed. And you and I, based on the mercy of God, should not do so either. What are you saying, Troy? Here is what I am saying. That in the process of remembering God's mercy, we are gifted with the ability to reset our regret and our regrets. You know, the main thing in your life that you remember more than anything else that you have done by omission or commission, and the things that you even done this week that you regret that you have done, the actions, the steps, the motives, the thoughts, God gives you the opportunity to reset them. How do you know this? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. See, the power of Christ is that while others will remember it, Christ calls you to forget it and move on. But that requires some action. The reset, just like the compilation, requires some action. So let me remove the confusion about Christianity, that it's all talk and no action. The real truth of Christianity is it's going to take some action for you. It's even if you don't confess to others, you will have to confess that you have done wrong to yourself and to God. You will. You will have to do that because repentance has to be real. And mercy only comes through the miracle of a relationship that is active. What do you mean? You remember the man on the cross who was the robber? He had to admit to God even though he didn't want to. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I've had to admit to God stuff I didn't want to tell anybody. And even in my car as I'm driving and forgetting where I have come from and lost wherever I am, sometimes I have to tell God, you tried to tell me, and I just didn't hear you. And the grace of God is this. While you didn't hear him, he'll allow you to hear him again. How do you know that, Troy? I'm concluding. Here it is. The third thing I want to tell you. That in the process of remembering God's mercy, that before mercy that came even before we knew we would need it. Where did you get that from? Jeremiah 1. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you, which means he knew you'd be who you are, and he loves you, and he thinks you're great, and don't let anybody take that from you. So that said, here's my final point. Before mercy delivers direction. Not discretion. It may be wrong on your screen, but that's what I mean. Mercy delivers direction. not discretion. Direction means this. God points you to the place in which he wants you to go. Psalmist says this, that our steps are ordered by the Lord. But discretion means that while you have direction, he removes you from the discerning process that you have in your humanness to the obedience you need in your spiritual nature. In other words, you get out of being subjective in your humanness, which is limited, and you then move to a place where you trust Christ all the more to handle what you yourself cannot handle on your own. Bottom line, you got to give up the judgmental process. As smart as we are, there's a God that's simply smarter, better, stronger. And he knew us before we got here, and he's waiting on us to give him our praise for being with us before we got here, so we can move to our next place, which is living in the between. I conclude with this. Jesus said this on the table. This is my body. Take and eat. Stop waiting for something to happen before and look forward to what's happening now. New mercies we see each day. Pray with me. God, your mercy is challenging and confusing, and the breadcrumbs that we have for how you've kept and blessed us often are overshadowed by the pain and the journey and the struggle and even the opportunities we have now. Don't let us forget yesterday, but at the same time, don't let us live in our before. Let us look forward to what we are dealing with in the in-between and in what will happen in the after. Cause us to celebrate the breadcrumbs of life in a way that changes and transforms us. This we pray in Christ's name, God's people said. Amen.